Welcome to another interview, and I have a feeling that today's interview is going to be rather engaging, fun, and extremely motivational, because James Malinchak is one of America's leading keynote speakers and business coaches. USA Today named him the world's premier speaker, trainer, and coach. He's also been featured on ABC's hit show, Secret Millionaire. And now, James, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to the interview.
Hey, thanks for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you with us. As I mentioned in the introduction, you're widely regarded as one of the best motivational speakers in the world. Can I start by asking, was that always an ambition?
No, it wasn't actually. I just remember saying, man, but if I can make $2,000 when I was getting out of school, if I can make $2,000 a month, I'll be set for the rest of my life. Yeah, that's it. I'll pay my rent, pay my car insurance. I'm good, right? And I have a friend who is a kind of a celebrity here in the U.S. He's a former pro football player. His name is Joe Theismann, a legendary quarterback for the Washington Redskins. And I went to see him speak back in 1995. I'd never seen a speaker before. And I just loved what he did. Like, he got up there, told stories. He motivated, inspired folks. And we went out to lunch after, and I asked him, not knowingly, very ignorantly, I said, hey, did they pay you to be out here? And he looked at me like, yeah. And I said, well, what'd they pay you, like $50 or something? And he looked at me like I had nine heads. He said, no, they paid me $10,000. This was back in 1995. And I about fell off the chair. I said, well, they paid you $10,000 to do what? He said, to deliver that speech. I mean, Joe's $25,000, $30,000 now. And I was like, what? They paid you to talk for 45 minutes? And Joe is the guy that started explaining the speaking industry and how it's really a business. And I'm the kind of guy, you don't have to hit me in the head with a 2x4 twice. I catch it the first time you hit me, right? I mean, I can help people. I can inspire them. And they will pay me? Oh, my gosh, I'm going to do this. And I did. And my first talk, I did about 80 for free because I didn't know anything about the business side of speaking. And then my first paid talk was $50 and a free dinner. And that's how I got started.
And which did you enjoy the most, the $50 or the free dinner?
Well, I'll take the free dinner because I actually had to drive about 3.5 hours one way. And I emceed an event for about 4 hours, and then I drove 3.5 hours back. So I think I used the $50 up in gas. I think the free dinner when I got there was better.
Well, you're from a small town in Pennsylvania. So how did you go from such humble beginnings to becoming one of the world's most revered authors, speakers, and business coaches?
Well, you know, I think growing up in that small town environment had a lot to do with it. Wonderful, great people. We had about 6,000 people in our town, and we didn't have much. Dad worked in the steel mill on the trains, hauling coal and all kind of scrap metal. And Mom was a lunch mother at the schools, meaning serving lunches to kids going to school. So we didn't have anything. And I think growing up in that environment, well, the blessing I had was I had a cousin who was very successful, who came from that town. And he would always invite me to New York City to live with him. He was a commodity trader on the commodity exchange in New York in these gold, silver, and mercantile pits. And very wealthy guy. And he was the guy that showed me what's possible and that it doesn't matter where you start in life. It matters where you decide to finish and that you can be, do, and have anything you want in life. And something my father taught me that if you can do anything you want in life, if you don't listen to people who tell you you can't do something, you just believe in yourself. And so I think, and this is what I think is so important today for folks, you know, folks are doing certain things. They may want to do a bigger goal or a bigger dream, and they don't think it's possible because they've never been shown the way or had the door cracked open and had some light coming in. And I think that's what my cousin did to me. You know, I saw this whole world. You know, I mean, like this guy had like Rolls Royce and things like that. I mean, I was a steel mill town kid. I didn't even know that was even possible for somebody like me. But because he cracked the door and showed me just a glimmer of light. Now, what I tell people all the time, people will give you a cracked door with a glimmer of light and an opportunity or, you know, some advice. But then you got to get off your ass and do something with it. You know, like I was just fortunate that I followed and did exactly. Here was my rationale. If this man is successful and very wealthy and has tons of, you know, celebrity people that look up to him, maybe I ought to listen to him and do what he says.
Yeah.
And so that's all I did. You know, my part was easy. I just had to execute on the plan or the paths that he already created for himself. I just had to do them for me. I don't want to say it was easy. It was a lot of long hours and things like that, but I didn't have to kind of create it. So I always tell folks, look for somebody who already has what you have. They've already figured it out. And then go up and ask them to mentor you. If you have to pay them to consult or coach with you, do that, because they will not cut your learning curve in half. They'll cut it by 90% because they already figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people talk about luck as being a key element here. No, I'm not lucky enough or so on. So what would you say, James, about luck? Has it played a part in your success, would you say?
Absolutely not. No. So saying, you know, relying on luck, that's an easy way out. That's like saying, you know, I watched the movie The Secret and the universe is going to give me everything, so I don't actually have to do anything. I'll just sit on my couch and I'll wait for customers to come in, or I'll wait for money to walk in, or I'll wait for the love of my life to, you know, crawl through the window because I'm giving it up to the universe. I mean, come on. Let's get real. If that's what somebody believes, and they believe that it's just luck that gets handed to them, I mean, you're better off waiting for Mo, Larry, or Curly from the Three Stooges to bring you something. You know? No, luck is when preparation meets opportunity, and then you get off your butt and you do something about it. No, I absolutely do not believe it's luck.
I completely agree. So, I mean, in terms of your own business and your own success, James, how hard do you push yourself?
Wow, I love this question. Because I grew up in a steel town, and I watched my father, who was the hardest working man I've ever known in my life. He would get off a day from the mill, and he would, like, you know, put a fence around the yard. That's his day off, right? Or he would get a day off, and he would dig up sewer pipes from the, you know, sanitation from the sewer. Like, he would do some work, like hard manual labor. And I used to believe that hard work is what it takes. And it wasn't until I got out on my own and started being an entrepreneur and thinking things through that I realized something. It's not about working harder. It's about working, and most people say smarter, and I said, that's absolutely incorrect. It is not about working harder. It is not about working smarter. It's about working right. If you do things the right way, you don't have to work hard. Because you got things. I'll give you, here's how I learned this. When I was playing high school basketball, there was a playground by my house, and my goal was, boy, if I work hard all day long, all in the summer, for 12 hours a day out there shooting, then I'm going to be a pretty good shooter, and I might get offered a scholarship to university. And so I did that, and I was out there 12, 14 hours. Matter of fact, I even worked really smart. I worked as a busboy. I made some money. I went to the paint store and I bought a paintbrush and a tape measure and some paint. And I painted a 3-point shooting arc out there so I could shoot from far away, because I was thinking, boy, if I get used to this, when it comes time in a few months to be in regular season, I'm going to be ready to go. So I'm working. I used to wear weight vests. I used to do wrist curls, and I'd be out there 12, 14 hours a day. I used to shoot at night. Because my theory was, if I can make the baskets when it's dark, I can make it when the gym lights are on in the game, right? Mm-hmm. So I was working hard. I was working smart, right? Preparing myself, getting my legs strong, all that, my wrist strong. And I couldn't make a shot for about 6 weeks. And finally, one day I got mad. I threw my shirt down. I kicked the ball down the street. And there was a man, Mr. Mason, who would sit on a swing in our little town in his yard, overlooking the basketball court. And he got up from his swing in his yard. He walked over to me and he said, Malinchak, come here. He said, I'll tell you why you're missing your shots. And I said, well, did you play? He said, nope, I never played in my life. I said, did you coach? He said, nope, never coached. And I'm thinking, what in the heck is this guy who never played or never coached going to tell me why I'm missing my basketball shots? So sarcastically, I said, good, Mr. Mason, tell me. He said, well, you're working hard. I'll give you that, kid. You're out here 12, 14 hours a day in the hot sun. And in theory, you're working smart because I see you with the weight vest on and you got the paint and the paintbrush and the line and all that. He said, but son, you're not working right. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not working right. He says, your elbow is sticking out every time you shoot the ball, and I'm watching you shoot curveball. And there's an old line in basketball, where the elbow goes, the ball flows. And he said, kid, why don't you get your elbow in and shoot the ball the right way, and I'll bet you make your shots. And I did. And I made them. And then I made them further. And it was so easy to make the shots. I didn't have to be. I could go out there for an hour, 90 minutes, shoot the right way, and I was done for the day. I didn't have to work hard 12, 14 hours a day. So it's not about working harder. It's not about working smarter. It's about working right.
And what helps you to now stay focused, James? Because I guess, you know, you've achieved so much in your career. How do you now stay focused on what you're working on now and what you're working on next?
Well, it has to be very fun for me. I mean, I got to enjoy it. It has to be fun. It has to be easy. I heard this term one time somewhere, ELF. I can't remember where I heard it. ELF, E-L-F, and I kind of like the term. Easy, lucrative, and fun.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a cool little term. And so I'm at a point. Well, I'll give you an example. I just got off a call with a guy who has this new site, and it's to empower kids and teach them leadership and entrepreneurship and all that. And, you know, he's got Les Brown and all these different celebrity thought leaders on there, and he wanted me to do some programs to help the kids. And I said, hey, man, I'm in. A part of my passion is helping kids. And so I'm in under one condition. How much time and effort and work do I have to put in? And he said, oh, it'd just be like, you know, one 40-minute interview that I do with you every 3 or 4 months. I said, all right, man, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy. it's lucrative because he's got hundreds of thousands of folks that will find out about me, so that will turn into business. And it's fun because I love talking about stuff like this, and I especially love helping kids. So real easy to say, that's something that I want to do and focus on. So yeah. For me, personally, it's got to be in my superpower, if you will, and it's got to be easy, lucrative, and fun.
Well, you talk about superpowers, so I'd like to ask you about your heroes. You know, who do you look up to? Mm.
Well, definitely my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from a still town, not having much, but two of the most wisdom people I've ever met because they gave me life wisdom, right? You know, my mom said, enjoy all the success that you could have and that you want, but never forget your family and your friends. Always keep them a top priority and always tell them you love them and care about them. I mean, that should be taught in every school in the world.
It's great advice.
Right? My dad was the one that told me, you know, you can do anything you want in life if you don't listen to people who tell you can't do it and if you always believe in yourself. I mean, why isn't that taught in every university, every school, every grade in the world? So it was nuggets like that. But I also, you know, I believe you don't go to school once in your life. You're in school every single day of your life. The minute you choose, hear me, the minute you choose to stop learning, you will stop earning. And I don't just mean an income. I mean, you know, earning growth where you continue to grow. I always say if you want to go more, you got to grow more. Right. So earning is more than just money. But I'm constantly learning. I mean, I've read 5,000 books. I just went on Amazon and got three more books last night. I just connected up with Lee Steinberg, who's a super sports agent, represents 300 professional athletes. If you ever saw the movie Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. This is kind of the real Jerry Maguire that they based the movie on. And I'm interviewing him for my coaching clients. So was coming up in about 4 weeks. So what did I do? I went on Amazon and I bought both of his books that he wrote. And I'll read those books before we do the interview. And I'll know more about how he thinks and his life and, you know, what he tries to teach people than probably anybody that's ever interviewed him, because nobody took the time to read his dang book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I'm always learning. I've always got new mentors in the form of books, audios, podcasts, etc.
And talking of books, I mean, you've written many yourself. I mean, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about the books that you've written.
Yeah. So actually, just counting it up today, it's 22 that I did.
Wow.
And since this whole, you know, pandemic thing started a few months ago, I finished two more books because, you know, I told all my coaching clients, and I have coaching clients that are, we have about 130 some coaching clients, and right now it's $25,000 and $100,000 for a coaching level. And I was telling them, as soon as this all happened, I said, you know, we're not going to be back to some normalcy for another year, so don't panic, protect yourself, but get into proactive production mode. Don't sit here. Don't go watch television. What can you move up that you were going to do 12 months, 18 months, 3 years from now? Move it up now and get it done. So for me, it was like, hey, I got these books, two other books that I was going to do, you know, in a year or two. I'm like, well, I'll just move them up now. Mm-hmm. Those, you know. So I've written a book called Millionaire Success Secrets. It's 33 ways, what I call millionaire top achievers, 33 ways millionaire top achievers, how they act and they think, because 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs think way differently than everyone else. That's the reason they're 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So Millionaire Success Secrets, I wrote Millionaire Selling Secrets. All strategies and ideas from a 7- and 8-figure level person. Millionaire Referral Secrets, how to get a whole bunch of business referrals. Millionaire Entrepreneur Secrets. Millionaire Networking Secrets. And then I wrote a whole bunch of books in the speaking profession as well, because I do a lot of speaking.
Yeah, I mean, and how do you go about that process of writing a book? I mean, is it a case of, you know, you open up your laptop, or do you go old school with pen and paper?
Yeah, great question. No, first of all, what I try to teach people who want to do a book is you already have a book done. You probably have information out there somewhere. You wrote blog articles, you put Facebook posts out, you put, you know, Twitter posts out. I told a very famous celebrity one time, I was speaking in an event, and I'm looking as I'm on stage, and I'm like, I know this guy. He's sitting in the front row. And this guy came up to me after, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it really is the guy. And right. So we were talking about books and all that. And I said, you know, you have a television show, and at the end, you put out tweets that are inspirational, all that, right? I watched some of your show stuff. He goes, yeah, I've done that. And I said, why don't you just go get all the tweets and put one or two on a page and bind it up? That's your book. Because your stuff that you put out is very inspirational and you know, encouraging. Why do you have to sit down and write a whole bunch of stuff? And he was like, dang, I never thought about that. And I said, you know, one of the best-selling books of all time is Life's Little Instruction Book. And it's just one or two sentences on a page of good wisdom and nuggets that people need to hear. I said, just do that. Just go get your tweets. Your book's already done.
Yeah. It's a case of don't overthink it, isn't it?
Don't overthink it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I did a book one time for somebody where it was a surprise as a birthday present for her. She didn't even know it was going to be done. I went on her Facebook page and I pulled off. She puts out great wisdom and, you know, encouragement. And I went on her Facebook page and I pulled off 100 of her posts that she wrote from the previous 3 years. And I put one on a page. I had a cover designed and, you know, put it and bound it all together, presented it to her as a birthday present. And all it was her Facebook post she already wrote. She had never thought that stuff could turn into a book. I'm like, why? It's great wisdom.
Yeah.
Let's just put it on some paper.
Absolutely. I mean, I think people sometimes underestimate their own creativity, you know, just in terms of, oh, it's only a Facebook post, it's only a tweet, but actually it is content and it's in your own words.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And James, I mean, what's next for you? What are you working on right now?
Oh, man. You know, I'm actually launching a podcast and a big YouTube channel and building up the social media aspect, because it's something I never really cared about in the past. Mm-hmm. And now I realize that this part of my life, I can reach and help more people. I get this all the time. Like I'll be working with somebody and they'll be like, man, I've been in like 10 different coaching programs And I never get told the stuff that you tell me about, like, how to profit and make money and all. Like, you just cut right to the chase, and you show me so many ways that and here's what I get. How come more people don't know about you? I mean, just I'm not like that. I mean, I have some of the biggest thought leaders in the world I work with behind the scenes, and big celebrities, and you know, they just, I just believe they, it's like the man Hitch in the movie Hitch. Will Smith played Hitch. He never advertised that he was the dating doctor. People just came to him because they knew he was the best. And that's kind of like what, but I get that all the time. And I just thought one day, I said, you know what? It's a shame that things that I'm blessed to know aren't going to help as many people as possible. So that's really what I'm focused on. Like, how do we get this out there? So I hired an Instagram team. I hired a YouTube team to build a YouTube channel. And we're going to be in the next couple months going full force. We had a podcast team that's going to be doing our podcast and blasting it out.
Great. How can people find out more about you, James? Where should we head?
Real simple. www.bigmoneyspeaker.com. Bigmoneyspeaker.com. Real simple to remember. By the way, there's a little tip for everybody. If anybody's ever going to have a website, you create a website that's really easy to remember with words. And number two, creates an image in people's minds when you say the website, because they will never forget it. You will always remember bigmoneyspeaker.com, because when I say those words, you actually see it in your subconscious mind.
Yeah, it's so perfect. James, listen, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate, you know, you spending
absolutely
time with us. It's been great to catch up, and good luck with the podcast, the YouTube channel, and everything else that you're working on.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.